Good morning. Will you please stand and join me in the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, it may be sobering to realize that 2010 is 1/6 gone, and here we are in March. We'll start today with a presentation by Christine Applegate, our director for CSA, with a consideration of the board proclaiming March 2010 as Social Worker Recognition Month in Nassau County. Ms. Applegate.
Good morning. You see many people in the boardroom today. I know some of them are here for budget, but many of them are also here for Social Worker Appreciation Month. So we'll be recognizing them today. The theme today of the National Association of Social Workers for Recognition this year is the Social Workers Inspire Community Action. And that's very true, and we've built our presentation off of that. We're here today to recognize not just the people who work here in the county, but our social workers throughout the county and throughout the nation. The theme of Social Workers Inspiring Community Action to Improve Lives sums up what these professionals do every day to help and support children and families and individuals by providing resources and guidance that support their social functioning. Social workers spend 96% of their time in direct client services, working directly with individuals and families. They also do consultation and administration, teaching and research. Social workers work to resolve systemic issues that negatively affect the community and its citizens. Some work in education and research, others work in government and in nonprofit organizations, and all work to provide sustainable change. Social workers can be found working with the homeless, with those in poverty, those with mental illness or drug and alcohol dependencies, those with domestic violence in their lives, those who are abused and neglected, those in nursing homes or in hospice, people in the military and in disaster situations, as well as in prisons and in schools, in adoptions, and even in large corporations where they work to support families and individuals. The largest employer of social workers nationwide is the Department of Veterans Services, or rather Veterans Affairs, employing more than 6,000 social workers nationwide to work with the military and their families. In Stanislaus County, there are hundreds of social workers, and we'd like to honor them all here today. We've listed some of the organizations in our county that have social workers, and we'd like to share the breadth of their impact. So social workers involved in the protection of children, families, and victims are working in the Children's Crisis Center, providing respite child care, in the Community Services Agency and Child and Family Services Division, and also in our Adult Protective Services Division, District Attorney's Office in the Victim Services Program, in the Haven Women's Center of Stanislaus County, where they provide domestic violence services. They offer counseling services, and those are provided to children and families through the Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, Center for Human Services, Sierra Vista Child and Family Services, to name a few. Also, social workers are important in working with children and adults who are disabled. In the Valley Mountain Regional Center, this happens, as well as DRAIL, the Disability Resource Agency for Independent Living. And SSI advocates are throughout the community. Some are at the Community Services Agency, Health Services Agency, and Behavioral Health and Recovery Services. Social workers provide a wide array of services in foster family agencies in our area. The Agape Villages FFA, the Spirinet Foster and Family Services, Creative Alternatives, Families First, Koinonia, Nepenthean, and Sierra Vista Child and Family Services. Social workers are an integral part of the Elder and Dependent Adult Services, working in the Area Agency on Aging, in our Community Services Agency Adult Services Division, at Miller's Place offering daycare for adults, Veteran Services, Catholic Charities, and Valley Caregivers who offer respite care. Social workers are involved in providing housing and removing barriers to employment for families through the Community Housing and Shelter Services and through our Community Services Agency in our StanWorks Division. Social workers also provide services in the medical field. They are in hospitals. They're in our Community Hospice Incorporated, Evergreen Rehab Care Center, Health Services Agency, Satellite Dialysis, Satellite Healthcare, and the Visiting Nurses Association, to name a few. Social worker education is also provided locally at Modesto Junior College, at California State University Stanislaus, and the California Social Work Education Center called CalSWEC. Social workers are involved in our adoption services in the county through Aspira Foster Family Agency, the Community Services Agency Child and Family Services Division, Families for Children Adoptions Agency, Family Connections Christian Adoption Agency, Sierra Vista Child and Family Services, and Bethany Christian Services. And those are just a few of the ones we've selected to name here today. There are many social workers working in many different areas throughout our community. We want to thank them for the work that they do and to express our support. To accept the proclamation today, I'd like to introduce Dr. Tynan. Margaret Tynan is the head of the social work program at Stanislaus State, and she's been the director there since 2002. She has a vision for social justice that was built on tenets of mutual respect, dialogue, critical reflection, and action. She really inspires her students and those in the community. And under her leadership, the MSW program at CSU Stanislaus has continued to grow and prosper. They just recently received stellar reviews from their most recent accreditation, reaccreditation with the Council on Social Work Education. Dr. Tynan came to Stanislaus with extensive experience in academic preparation in the field of aging and taught at the CSU Fresno for a number of years. And she's been working and living here in the Valley for more than 40 years. And we especially wanted to recognize Dr. Tynan this year. She is retiring at the end of this year after many years of leadership in the field, and she has inspired many of the social workers who work here in the county in both the CSA and the Behavioral Health and Recovery Services and also in various other community agencies. So we want to thank her for guiding many of her students and their lives so that they've come to work for us. So while she's coming up to accept the award, I just wanted to ask all the social workers in the audience to stand briefly and get recognized. So if you could, anyone who's here as a social worker, you don't stand. Okay. So on behalf of all the social workers, we want to support them and give our appreciation, and Dr. Tynan is up there to receive the proclamation.
Good morning. On behalf of the board, I'd like to thank you and all the social workers for the wonderful job that you all do on our behalf. And I'd like to present this proclamation to you and give you an opportunity to make a few comments.
Okay, thank you. Well, first of all, I'd like to thank the board for recognizing Social Work Month. It's a very important work that all of the social workers do, and I really appreciate the fact that you have taken it upon yourselves to honor the profession. And I want to extend a thank you to all of you out there who do such wonderful work. Thank you.
We have an opportunity for public comment, and there are two of you that have requested to comment, actually both of you, regarding item C2, and one of the gentlemen that have requested this have asked that we pull it from the consent calendar. So we will pull C2 in order from the consent calendar and give you opportunity to talk about it then. And as is there anyone that cares to comment to the board about something other than the agenda items this morning? Please, sir, come forward and state your name.
My name is Jeff Stanley.
Yeah, Mr. Stanley, we're going. You want to talk about C2, right?
But I didn't look at this. I guess this is C2.
Yeah, that's the item regarding the surveyor.
Yes.
And we'll hear that in order. I've pulled it off the consent calendar, so you have a chance to make comments.
Okay.
When we get to
Thank
that.
You.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Then. We have consent calendar here, and we'll consider a motion regarding that.
Motion to accept.
Second.
We have a motion from Supervisor Kayes, a second from Supervisor O'Brien. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item B4 is approval to adopt a resolution initiating a sixth expansion of the enterprise zone in Stanislaus County. Mr. Boggs.
Good morning, Chairman Grover, members of the board, Keith Boggs, Deputy Executive Officer, Economic Development. I'm here this morning joined by Mr. Ray Campanier from the Workforce Alliance to request your consideration and approval to submit an Enterprise Zone expansion request to the California Housing and Community Development Agency, HCD. This expansion request is for approximately 102 acres. It is the sixth expansion request to date and includes Duarte Nursery, doing business as Duarte Trees and Vines, a.k.a. California Winelands, LLC. This is an action item. There have been 5 Stanislaus Zone 40 expansion phases approved to date. All 9 of the incorporated cities are now actively participants to the benefit incentives realized via the Enterprise Zone programming. The current Phase 6 request is located in the unincorporated area of Stanislaus County near the community of Houston. The business applicant, Warke Nursery, is a family-owned and operated nursery located near the geographic center of our community. Since business inception, Duarte Nursery has become the nation's largest perennial fruit crop nursery. The facility employs, on average, 170 year-round employees, which grows to an average of 350 employees during peak seasons. Duarte's sales are over $30 million annually and expanding. The map on screen is a graphic depiction of all zone expansions to date. I apologize for its legibility on that medium. However, there is an attachment in your packet should you wish to look at that. This Phase 6 expansion location includes 3 agriculturally zoned parcels which have the requisite county-approved commercial use permitting. The zone expansion acreage is contiguous to the existing Zone 40 boundary, as a portion of the expansion acreage is directly adjacent to a pre-established and zone-authorized right-of-way along Santa Fe. As mentioned, this expansion request is for approximately 102 acres, which is 6.6% of the total expansion remainder. Should you agree with this application request, there will be a zone expansion balance of about 1,416 acres for future considerations. Each of you know the Enterprise Zone program can be a very powerful retention, relocation, and business expansion tool. With several large development project areas on our horizon, the greatest and best regional uses should continue to be a primary focus. The remaining 1,416 acres will require careful consideration into the future. It is staff's recommendation this morning, a recommendation shared by all 9 of the incorporated City Enterprise Zone partners, that the Duarte location, as requested, will create a synergy of capital investment within the company and the community and ultimately ensure the sustained viability and growth of this business. We're seeking your approval this morning to proceed with this nominal zone expansion request process. All HCD application materials have been prepared. Each of you have individual copies of the extensive HCD application portfolio in your packet. Individual city resolutions of support have been obtained. I think we have 6 of 9, and I anticipate the remaining several this week. And if you have any questions regarding this request, I or Mr. Campanula are available to make our attempt. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Boggs? Anyone from the audience care to comment? Okay, well then we'll entertain a motion.
Okay, motion to approve.
Second it.
We have a motion from Supervisor DeMartini, second from Supervisor Monteith. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. Item is approved.
Thank you.
Item V5 is consideration of the mid-year financial report for fiscal year 9-10. Mr. Robinson.
Yes, thank you very much for this opportunity to share with you the results of the first 6 months of operations of Stanislaus County Government. Sitting before you, Nancy Bronstein, Monica Nino, Patty Hill Thomas, who will be doing the majority of the presentation. I wanted just to take a moment to express my appreciation to the county staff that have worked to help compile the mid-year report. This is a very important document and a very important interim step in managing our substantial budgets. I also want to comment and express my appreciation to the department heads who have worked so closely with the CEO staff in developing a program that we believe will begin to address some of the long-term implications of this extended recession that we find ourselves in today. What you'll hear today from staff is a report and update on the first 6 months of the year. That report is generally good and consistent with, for the most part, our expectations. We have a couple areas that we'll be covering with you where our revenue estimates did not materialize at expected levels. However, we do have remedies for that that we'll be recommending to you. And then a good substantial portion of today's discussion will speak to mid to 2010-11 and 11-12 budget strategies, challenges, and opportunities that we see going forward in during the next 24 to 30 months. So without further delay, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring, Pabby Hill-Thomas from the Executive Office, along with Monica Nino and Nancy Brunstein. Thank you, Mr. Robinson, for your comments. Just a note, the entire CEO's budget team is in the audience, many members of our human resources team, and we too appreciate their efforts and those of all of our department heads and budget managers. This mid-year report was much like redoing the budget. It was a significant effort, and we appreciate everyone's attention. This morning, we're going to talk to you about the condition of the budget in the current year, the strategy approach that we recommend taking next year and the coming years beyond, and provide you a forecast, a very preliminary forecast, because we haven't yet done the budget for next year, and there are many things in play. And one thing is certain, that the exact numbers that we forecast today are likely to change. We are focusing very much this morning on the impact of our local discretionary revenue losses, like property tax and sales tax. We are not forecasting yet the additional impacts from the state budget that we don't know about, and we remained extraordinarily concerned about the impact of the state budget condition on our own local fiscal challenge. This report is, of course, based on your Board of Supervisors' priority. We will be back in May with a third quarter fiscal report, and in June with our proposed budget for next year. Our goals at the mid-year point are important to remind ourselves, I think, and the community, that we not only look every quarter, but we look every day at the budget performance and the impact on programs that we provide as a county organization. We identify outstanding budget issues. Some of those we forecast at the beginning of the year, and some we don't. So it's important to stay current on what's happening in our budget. We ask your board to consider adjustments so that we are certain that we end the fiscal year in a positive financial position. That's based on your board's policy, and that always happens here. We always make the adjustments. Your board provides the leadership to ensure that we have a balanced budget that's positive at fiscal year end. And at the mid-year point and each quarterly point, we look beyond to the coming fiscal year. All of our general fund operations in the county, those that are primarily funded by local discretionary revenue, have been receiving reductions over the last couple of years. We think it's important to note, as we talk about additional reductions in the future, what's already happened in the programs and funding that we receive. All of our general fund departments have already received a 12% reduction in net county costs last year, including animal services. Our public safety departments have received a 5% reduction in net county costs last year. And we used $15.3 million in one-time funds used to balance the general fund budget. Part of that is a strategy to move through these difficult times and to restructure our organization so that when we come out of the fiscal crisis we're in, we will be dependent on our ongoing revenue sources and less dependent on one-time general funds. This chart you've seen many times before. It was the final budget, just a little over $958 million, divided by the priorities of your Board of Supervisors. And you'll see a chart a little later in our presentation that looks at the discretionary revenue loss that almost inverts the relationship in this chart. As you can see from this chart, the largest portion of the county budget are for our health and social service programs in the board priority of a healthy community, nearly half the county budget. And you can see the safe community portion, just almost 17%. This is the expenditure side of our budget. And while we expect to continue to see significant reductions from the state government budget crisis, as well as perhaps the federal government, it's those losses in the local discretionary revenue that we'll focus on in today's report and what we foresee for next fiscal year. The adjusted budget by board priority, that brings in what was left over from last year in terms of ongoing projects and efforts does bring our current 2009-2010 budget to just a little over $1 billion. The biggest change budget-wise that brought us over back over $1 billion again was in the Community Services Agency, nearly $9 million in state and federal allocations that were provided this year in addition to what we originally expected. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Monica.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doering, Monica Nina from the Chief Executive Office. In response to the county's budget situation, departments made very limited requests of additional general fund dollar requests as part of the mid-year fiscal review. I'm just going to hit some of the highlights as part of the overall mid-year review, and we'll go into greater detail as we further through the PowerPoint. The total recommended transfers that we will be presenting to you today is almost $1 million, which will leave a remaining balance in our appropriations for contingency fund, which is in our general fund, of $3 million. The largest budget adjustment in this recommendation is a transfer from our Community Services Agency Services and Support budget, and it's the creation of a new in-home supportive services provider wages budget. This newly formed IHSS provider wages budget will provide stronger budgeting along with a greater accounting control, and is funded with over $47 million in state and federal funding, as well as a transfer of over $5 million in realignment funds from our services and support budget, along with county match dollars from the general fund of over $2 million. At the midpoint of this year, the county spending plan continues to be balanced. However, there are still several issues that we will continue to monitor through the remainder of this fiscal year. Those are primarily in the areas of our general liability and any additional retirement cash outs that we might see as part of our third quarter report. I'd like to go over discretionary revenue with you this morning. Overall, collections and discretionary revenue are down $8.4 million, but this was anticipated. This board approved a budget that was $18.7 million less in discretionary revenue when we presented the final budget to the board in September of 2009. Today, we are recommending an overall reduction in discretionary revenue of approximately $11.3 million. The largest of those reductions is primarily just a technical adjustment. $7.9 million of this adjustment is a change in how the state is requiring us to account for the suspension of the Prop 1A funding that we are transferring in property tax dollars to the state of California. The first allocation, that's approximately $7.9 million. We've already transferred $3.8 million of that allocation in January of 2010. The next allocation will be another $3.8 million in May of 2010. This board approved the designation to offset this transfer of property tax dollars as part of the final budget back in September of 2009. The actual reduction in discretionary revenue, that is a true reduction from our original budget, is approximately $3.4 million. This is primarily as a result in reductions in sales tax revenue, primarily in our public safety sales tax revenue, along with some property tax revenue reductions. On the next chart, you will see a table illustrating the reductions in all of the major categories in our discretionary revenue. As I mentioned, the largest is in our public safety sales tax of $5.5 million. There is one positive in this recommendation, and that's in our fines and penalties on delinquent taxes, and that's we're recommending an increase in that budgetary amount up to $8 million from our current $6.4 million for a $1.6 million increase. And you'll see we are going from a recommended budget in September of over $154 million, and as a result of the recommendations before you today, we will be bringing it down $11.3 million for a total of $142 million. Nancy will currently go over the recommended budget adjustments within our various board priorities.
Good morning, Chairman Grover, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, and Mr. Doering. Nancy Bronstein from the Chief Executive Office. I'm going to provide an overview of the mid-year budget adjustments by board priority, starting with a safe community. In the priority area of a safe community, an overall increase in appropriations of $542,000 is recommended. It is recommended to decrease appropriations by $120,000 in the CEO County Fire Service budget as a result of the suspension of Prop 1A and the reduction in assessed property values. In the sheriff's budget, an overall increase in appropriations of just over $536,000 is recommended. This increase is primarily a result of the payment to the City of Waterford to close out Contract City's fund balance using Contract City's fund balance and tobacco settlement funds set aside for the Waterford Community Center. Also included in this adjustment is an increase in fixed assets for vehicle needs. In the priority area of a healthy community, an overall decrease in appropriations of almost $4.3 million is recommended. Recommendations include an increase in appropriations of $236,000 for the Area Agency on Aging, due in large part to an increase in funding for the Federal Older American Act for senior services and programs. It is also recommended to decrease appropriations by almost $4.7 million at the Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, primarily as a result of the transfer of funds into deferred revenue to reflect the late startup of the Prevention and Early Intervention Program. An overall decrease in appropriations of $188,000 at the Community Services Agency is recommended to reflect changes in program revenue and the creation of a new separate in-home supportive services provider wage budget. It is also recommended to increase appropriations by $524,000 for the Health Services Agency Public Health Local Preparedness budget to allow for the transfer of remaining fund balance to public health for operating costs. An increase of appropriations of over $4.3 million is recommended for the priority area of a strong local economy. Recommendations within a strong local economy include an increase in appropriations of over $4.9 million for Alliance WorkNet to reflect additional funding made available through the Community Services Agency for Employment and Training Services. It is further recommended to decrease appropriations by $578,000 to reflect the overall decrease in sales tax revenue for the library. An increase of appropriations of almost $9,000 is recommended for the priority area of a strong agricultural economy and heritage. The only recommendation in this priority area is an increase of appropriations of $8,992 for the Agricultural Commissioner as a result of increased funding from state contracts for light brown apple moth monitoring. A decrease in appropriations of $137,000 is recommended for the priority of a well-planned infrastructure system. It is recommended to increase appropriations by $336,000 in the Parks and Recreation budget, resulting from increased off-highway grant funding and increased visitation to the Modesto and Woodward Reservoir. It is also recommended to decrease appropriations by $504,000 in the Public Works Department, driven mostly by the delay in Prop 1B funding for road and bridges and decreased demand in Morgan Shop services in the Department of Public Works. An increase of appropriations of $30,000 is recommended for the priority area of efficient delivery of public services. It is recommended to decrease appropriations in CEO County match by $259,000 for recommended departmental adjustments and a reduction in the estimated obligation for the North McHenry tax sharing agreement. It is further recommended to increase appropriations and estimated revenue by $906,000 for the clerk recorder for costs associated with the statewide direct primary election and a retirement cash out. An increase in appropriations of $155,000 for the General Services Agency for retirement cash outs funded from appropriations for contingencies and for increased requests in services at Central Services. Finally, it is recommended to increase appropriations $185,981 in strategic business technology for the PeopleSoft upgrade and for data center improvement projects. In the efficient delivery of public services, we have the CEO appropriations for contingency budget. We started the year with $4 million in this budget. We're recommending the use of $997,825,000 for retirement cash outs and to fund the statewide direct primary election. There'll be just a little over $3 million remaining in this budget. In staffing, as of the mid-year report, the county had 3,964 funded allocated positions. This report is recommending unfunding two positions in the Chief Executive Office, deleting two positions in Child Support Services, and then funding 10 positions that were previously unfunded through 100% funded through Medi-Cal. These positions will be left vacant for reductions in staffing and other programs. And finally, the unfunding of one position in strategic business technology. With approval of these changes, there will be 3,969 full-time authorized positions.
As the county progresses through fiscal year 2009 to 2010, planning for fiscal year 2010-2011 is actively underway. Even with the focused, targeted reductions that we began the final budget with, our general fund, we are projecting, will still be facing a $23.5 million deficit. And this is net of using $10 million in designations. That $10 million designation, we will be recommending the second year of $8 million in designations as part of a three-year budget strategy as one-time funding to balance the budget, along with a $2 million designation that was created as a result of last year's year-end fund balance for potential retirement increases. Probably one of the largest exposures that the county is facing that we have included as part of our projections for 2010-2011 is the exposure in our retirement increased costs. In total, we are anticipating approximately a $22 million increase. Of that $22 million, $11 million is anticipated for the general fund. Impacts to the state budget. Currently, we do not have large exposures currently as part of that $23.5 million in the general fund. The following are some of our budget strategies that we have laid out. We've had a number of meetings with department heads, along with it was the primary focus of a recent board retreat in February, along with a recent meeting with our unrepresented management employees, where our CEO laid this plan out. We are recommending a 30-month budget strategy through June 30th of 2012, using a revenue-based approach for the allocation of general fund resources. This is primarily a reduction of between an 8 to 10% reduction from their 2009-2010 revenue allocation. One of the great incentives that departments have been presented with is the potential savings of their current year's budget in a net county cost that they would have the opportunity to carry over that savings to as of June 30, 2010 as part of their 2010-2011 to fund any potential exposures that they cannot cover within their current budget proposal. We are also proposing no general fund balance used in balancing that budget. So in that $23.5 million deficit that we're projecting, that currently beyond the two sources of designations currently has no fund balance. And that's in comparison to a current year's budget for 2009-2010 where we're proposing over an $18 million use of fund balance. We have zero fund balance as part of our balancing strategy for next year. Also, we are proposing that there's no additional funding for departmental unmet needs. We would anticipate that departments would consider using their year-end savings to fund those unmet needs or allocate any of those unmet needs as part of their base priority programs. We will also be evaluating the mandated versus non-mandated programs and services that we're currently providing, along with the continuation of this board's no backfill policy. And also, along with departments being able to retain their current year savings at year-end to the level of 75%, if we have a particular department or agency who exceeds their net county cost that was adopted by this Board of Supervisors in this current year, they will be required to carry that over as an overage and as a reduction to their 2010-2011 fiscal year. And any new net growth in discretionary revenue, because currently, as part of our projections for our 2010-2011 fiscal year, we're projecting discretionary revenue of over $150 million. That's down considerably, even from this current year. This board approved a budget of approximately $164 million, so we're bringing that down roughly $14 million. There are some exposures within discretionary revenue because we've essentially assumed a flat property tax value. And what that means is when we reflect the flat property tax value, there's no growth, but there's also no reduction. The last 2 years, we've experienced reductions in our property tax revenues. So any new growth in discretionary revenue, we would use it to offset designations so we can carry them into future fiscal years. Potential exposures that we're facing as part of our 2010-2011 strategy. One of our largest is in our county match mandated programs. We're anticipating roughly a $4.6 million exposure in that area. The largest portion relates to our in-home supportive services program, and that could be up to $2.6 million. As I mentioned earlier, further deterioration of our discretionary revenue. We are anticipating significant increases in department general liability and unemployment self-insurance fund expenses, along with service level reductions. We are, we will more than likely be bringing before this board consideration of some funding for our assessor's department for the defense of our assessment appeals. And Patty will be going over the general fund revenue allocation preliminary budget.
We use the mid-year financial review as a point to forecast what we see for next year and beyond. And that's the essence of at least a 30-month budget strategy, because the declining discretionary revenues are real and they will be sustained at a lower level for a number of years into the future. This is the picture that I mentioned earlier would nearly reverse the allocation of expenditures in the county budget. In the current year, we have $160 million of general fund discretionary revenue forecast for next year. That's $150 million of ongoing revenue, as Monica mentioned, a declined number, and $10 million in one-time funds. And what you can see from this illustration is that the largest user from a program perspective of local discretionary revenue, which is declining, are our safe community programs. 65.9% of our discretionary revenue funds local public safety programs. And you can see the allocation in the, I have a hard time with the colors today, the a healthy community, it's kind of a burgundy, that 16%, while it's the largest portion on the expenditure side of the county budget, it's one of the smaller users, particularly compared to public safety, of local discretionary revenue. And that's because those programs in our healthy community departments, primarily health and social services, are funded either entirely or mostly by state and federal revenues. So this is a forecast of our local budget situation without the things we don't yet know about in terms of the state or federal budget reductions. What we wanted to do is give you a quick picture at each board priority area, let's go ahead and go ahead, of what this forecast of discretionary revenue loss means. The amount of general fund revenue to be allocated at this very preliminary period, and again, I want to emphasize, we haven't yet done the proposed budget for next year, but our department heads have worked very hard to forecast what is likely to occur as a result of the reduced local discretionary revenue. In the general fund, we're looking at a $9.3 million reduction in discretionary revenue from the current year. That still resulting in a $23.5 million overall shortfall. And again, without additional impacts from the state budget. In the safe community programs, you can see this decline. Over $7.7 million in discretionary revenue that previously was available for our safe community programs, we forecast will not be available in the coming fiscal year. And our department heads have worked hard to identify what the likely impacts will be of those levels of reduction. They foresee reduction in the number of beds in the incarceration facilities, both adult and juvenile detainees, reductions in sheriff's patrol operations, reductions in the ability for the prosecutors to staff the court operations, and likely reductions in services provided by the Animal Services Department. In the healthy community budget, and you can see again, this is the largest cost portion of the county budget, but the county general fund match to social service and health programs, $18 million. We foresee a $1.4 million revenue decrease. In many cases, the programs in a healthy community are mandated, and to the extent that the exact match to state or federal money is mandated, we won't be able to make those reductions without a legislative or legal change or successful legal challenge. We foresee that the areas in the healthy community that are not specifically mandated, that are likely to be impacted will include reductions in alcohol and drug program services and public guardian services, reductions in the in-home supportive services case management, which is an area the county has some discretion in, and child welfare supported services, as well as administration for the community services agency. We anticipate furloughs requiring office closures and reduced levels of service and appointment delays in veterans at the Area Agency on Aging and Veteran Services, among others. And the board's priority of a strong local economy, not a big user of discretionary revenue. We foresee a $70,000 revenue decline, and we think that that would mostly impact the county's match to our county library. And as you heard earlier and as you read in the media report, our county library system is also facing significant declines in the dedicated sales tax revenue as a result of sales tax collections being down, further impacting our library operating hours. In your board's priority of a strong agricultural and economy and heritage, again, not a big user of discretionary revenue, we foresee in those few departments in that program area, $100,000 decrease, and we're looking at further departmental consolidations to reduce costs. In the board's priority of a well-planned infrastructure, this is not the whole story. We foresee a $400,000 revenue decrease from our discretionary revenue loss, but we are very, very concerned about the uncertainty over the highway users tax and the impacts on the delay of this revenue source already implemented just this week, last week by the legislature, and the continued delay. We foresee that Public Works will likely not be able to deliver or will deliver fewer road construction projects due to these delays and reductions in state funding, reduced maintenance service levels at our park and county facilities, and again, anticipated furloughs requiring office closures and reduced levels of service. In the board's priority of efficient delivery of public service, the only chart you'll see with an increase, and what's important about this is that there are fixed costs in the board's area of efficient delivery, primarily debt service and the McHenry tax sharing agreement we have. So this chart illustrates that we have to allocate additional discretionary revenue next year for those fixed costs. All of the departments in this priority, however, have projected an 8% decrease in their departmental operations. You have heard in the past from our clerk recorder, one of the impacts may be the inability to conduct an election under the current legal mandates and requirements, a reduced level of customer service in our assessor's office, and reductions in our information technology support and services. The following chart is a little big for the screen, so I'm sorry for that, but it is our best effort to try to forecast what the local impacts are likely to be from a number of actions or reactions that could occur as we prepare for next year. In the first column, and we have identified by your board priority, and the numbers in this chart are about filled positions, allocated positions that are currently filled in the county workforce. The impact of what we preliminarily forecast as an 8% reduction, we have more recently been talking about that likely to be a 10% reduction of our local discretionary revenues. We forecast at this point, along with our department heads, that 118 additional positions, primarily in the Safe Community programs, would be eliminated as a result of that discretionary revenue loss. In the second column, we have forecast what the impact is of absorbing the increased cost for retirement for next year that Monica spoke about earlier. And we forecast, along with our department heads, that that could have an additional impact of an additional 121 filled positions being eliminated. The next column is one that we will generally categorize as our labor reduction strategies. We are currently negotiating with all of the county's labor unions to implement labor cost reduction strategies. We think that the base provision for a 5% reduction in salaries could result in 72 of the positions countywide being preserved or saved as a result of implementing those labor cost reduction strategies, and we are in the midst of that negotiation process now. And finally, in part of our strategy, we talked about not counting on general fund savings next year for the general fund, but allowing our departments to keep 75% of the savings that they can generate to start to implement a multi-year strategy where our department heads and their staff can work over multiple years to meet their needs and balance their declining revenue. That implementation of that part of our strategy, we foresee, by keeping those savings at the department level, could preserve about 11 positions, you can see 10 of which are in the safe community. The bottom line of that forecast is that we are now full-time at work, along with most of the budget managers and department heads in the organization, preparing a proposed budget for your consideration in June. Before you is the preliminary budget schedule. We will be issuing our budget instructions to our county departments on March 12th. We will be bringing incrementally to your board separate recommendations, program by program, for additional reductions in force that we describe in this report that are likely to be needed and that need to be implemented by July 1st. In other words, this year we cannot wait until the proposed budget. The reductions and declines in revenues are so significant that we'll be bringing separate reports to your board for your consideration program by program so that the reductions in force can be in effect by July 1 in order to assist in balancing the challenging budget we face for next year. In April and May, we will be working on the proposed budget. We will bring you a third quarter budget report. We will make the proposed budget available to the public in late May. We will suggest at an upcoming board consideration specific dates, multiple dates, for a June 2010 proposed budget hearing, and finally a September 2010 final budget hearing. Mr. Chairman and members of the board, we have 9 recommendations before you today to accept the mid-year report, authorize the adjustments that are required, approve by a 4/5 vote of your board the use of $997,825 in the appropriations for contingencies as recommended. Authorize the undesignation of $7,866,152 due to the suspension of Prop 1A for the state to borrow against local property tax allocation. Authorize the undesignation of $64,895 from the Tobacco Settlement Fund to be transferred to the CEO's county match budget for the payment to the City of Waterford for the balance of payment to the contract cities from funds previously set aside for the City of Waterford. And finally, or not finally, but direct the CEO to implement the budget reduction strategy as outlined before you today, amend the salary and position allocation effective March 13th, approve the contracts all included in your report in the cumulative amounts of greater than $100,000 and those greater than $50,000. And Monica's reminding me that our mid-year financial report is available on the county's web. This is how to access it. And all of our quarterly and proposed and final budget reports are on the web as well so that we can get as much information into the community as possible. We are all available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions of staff from the board? Mr. Robinson.
Yeah, I would just like to reiterate what our staff has so eloquently shared with you and with members of the public by saying that the budget challenges that we faced in 2009 and that lay in front of us in 2010 and 2011 are unprecedented in our generation and so will require a tremendous sacrifice. We can expect that public services will be less accessible and less available to the public. We can expect reduced hours of operation, and we can expect that response times and turnaround times are going to slow. The net impact of the changes is difficult even to quantify intellectually. And the reality is that we are facing challenges in this fiscal year and subsequent fiscal years that we have not seen in this generation or the one before.
Supervisor Keita. Can you go back to the slide, the exposures for 2010-2011? I guess on the very first one, the first bullet point, the shortfall, the county match on IHSS, it talks about the $4.6 million and the $2.6 million. I don't understand the difference. Could you explain that to me?
We can. Thank you. Good question. We foresee at the current level of mandate requirements to aid programs, generally all aid programs, that unless there's some legislative or legal relief, our additional general fund obligation for all aid programs would be $4.6 million next year. Of that $4.6 million, $2.6 alone is just for the mandated cost increase for in-home supportive services. So of the $4.6 million total, $2.6 million is for what would be IHSS costs without a legislative or legal change or relief.
That's next year, the increase, just in next year that we're expecting.
Yes.
And our match is 17% or 14%? What is our,
Of the $55 million program right now, our local dollars, discretionary revenue, and realignment dollars are around $7
million. Okay. Because I see... our departments are doing such a good job at identifying waste and cutting expenses, and we're asking to do more with less. We go and we go and we go, but yet we allow this explosive growth in something that we can't predict. Have we heard of any potential? I know they've talked about it in the past, but is there any potential fix or relief there?
Well, the legislature is continuing to evaluate options and opportunities to begin to modify the access to and eligibility for in-home supportive services. And they're trying to develop strategies to look to the fraud and abuse that the legislature believes exists in the in-home supportive services program. The legislature did take some preliminary actions for the 2009-10 fiscal year, but those are being challenged now, so we haven't seen any material changes in the program for this fiscal year, and therefore the costs and number of persons eligible just continues to climb.
Do we ever send letters in support of changes to this program, allowing us some flexibility, or is this something we do through our lobbyists?
We do send letters, and we'll send two or three in a year relating to either different legislation affecting this or the county's general position. Last year, I think we sent a couple that spoke to the need to reevaluate the eligibility criteria and the tiered system, and looking to provide care only for those that have the greatest need. So begin to look to the persons with a demonstrably lesser need to begin providing their own care. A number of other issues relating to who is providing the care, whether it's a family member or other, and other related types of issues are certainly under discussion as well. And when we have the opportunity to weigh in on those, we do.
As Supervisor DeMartini always reminds me of this program, it's a $50 million program, so this would make it a $60 million program by next year, which is just, the growth is we're trying to control costs. We need some help on this issue. One other question I had as I was going through the packet, although it wasn't addressed today, and I'm not sure it's even relevant, was the redevelopment funds. And this came to my attention because of the series, Stanislaus County redevelopment funds, and how the county was sweeping some of those. And it doesn't look like we've had any of our swept from the state. Is that something that will occur, and I hate to put anyone on the spot.
I know that Kirk knows the status. He follows this very closely. It's my recollection that the attempt in 2009-10 to sweep RDA funding was blocked in the courts, but there are additional attempts for 2010-11.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Supervisor Kreaza. The Redevelopment Agency just sent a letter off to the auditor on March 1st, as required by state, saying that for this year's take of about $3 million, $2.8 million, that money would come from the capital projects fund from redevelopment. There is an additional request, I wouldn't say request, an additional demand from the state to take additional redevelopment funds next year as well. I think it's about $580,000, not quite as much as it was this year. At this point, the California Redevelopment Association has filed a lawsuit against the state, and the judge heard that last month. He asked for some additional information and is hoping to make a decision. We're hoping he's going to make a decision sometime before May 1st, I believe, is when we have to send the money to the state. Hopefully the judge would make a decision before then on the constitutionality of that take or not. Our hope and support is that he does determine that it's unconstitutional, that the state cannot take that fund. But if he does determine that it is, then the money will be sent to the state, $3 million this year, and about $580,000 next year.
All right. Thank you.
Anyone from the audience care to comment? Excuse me, Supervisor DeMartini, I didn't see the note.
Couldn't reach the button, Mr. Chairman. Could I have a little better explanation of this $64,000 to assist the payout of the City of Waterford regarding the contract city's funds? Is what it is we're talking about there?
Well, and actually, I had some comments on it as well. Let me explain the situation and then how the money adds up. Sheriff's Department has provided police services for Waterford for quite some time. It's in the second contract right now. And part of the contract was to provide services upon an agreed amount of price. Well, back in the first contract, a lot of things weren't specifically written out in the contract of what we provide. And so through accounting procedures, everything we provided wasn't properly deducted off of what they paid. So in their mind, in City of Waterford's mind, it created a balance due to them. Shame on us for providing and making a safe community in excess of what the contract stated we were to provide. Some of those items are things like providing backfill when a deputy's on vacation. We would take someone out of our main office and send them out to Waterford to provide vacation backup. The contract didn't tell us to do that. But our sheriff's department took Waterford in as their own to provide what was needed to create a safe community. The list of things we provide that's in excess of what the contract state is a pretty long list. So in our minds, nothing is due. Unfortunately, we provided services beyond what the contract stated. So they have demanded that we pay them, what is it, $400-something thousand?
$445,000.
They demanded $445,000 and threatened legal action. In what we have left in that fund balance is $300-something thousand, and so there's a difference of $64,000 that we don't have in that budget. So we're going to have to take that out of the tobacco money in order to make it whole. So there's another recommendation that I'd like to ask Mr. Chairman if we can include, and that recommendation is to ask the CEO to take a better look at this contract to find out if it makes financial sense for the county to be continued to do it. The second thing I'd like to do is ask the sheriff or instruct the sheriff to provide the services that are specified in the contract. No more free lunch. They will get what they pay for. And I think that's only fair. Just as they would want to only pay for services that Waterford provides and not anything outside of their community. So looking for a partnership and not a one-way subsidized partnership is what I'm looking for.
Did I understand you correctly that we're going to pay the City of Waterford $400,000?
$445,000.
In the $445,000, if I can provide just a little... Supervisor O'Brien did a very good job of explaining this, but the contract provides for specific services to be performed the from the inception of the contract under Sheriff Weidman's guidance and leadership forward, the Sheriff's Department has provided those core services and has provided some additional services as well. Technically, within the contract, there is no provision for reimbursement for the services provided over and above the terms specifically identified and enumerated in the contract. So the City of Waterford has requested, and in fact I would say demanded, that the county reimburse the city for any costs over and above those that we can positively identify as services that were provided pursuant to the four corners of the legal document under which we both operate. In reviewing that document and going back from the inception to the inception of the contract, we have been able to identify a total of $445,000, which is about $65,000 more than we have in the contract. The funds that the CEO's office is proposing that we use are funds that had been set aside for the City of Waterford to support their new administration center. It is my recommendation to you that we reallocate those funds and we address the contracts issue, and I fully support Supervisors O'Brien's comments and proposed inclusion in actions today to evaluate the contract as it exists today and provide direction to the Sheriff's Department relative to the level of service to be provided to the City of Waterford in the future.
Did you have more?
I just wondered if there are requests from any of the other contract cities for refunds, because we do Houston, Patterson, and Riverbank also.
No, there haven't been. And evaluating each of the contract cities has a different amount that could technically be attributed to that city. And depending on whether that city supports the overall efforts of the Sheriff's Department to provide broad scope of services or not, the cities have come forward. We have not had any requests from the City of Riverbank, the City of Patterson, or the City of Houston relative to services that we have provided in their communities. That would infer, in my mind at least, that the cities are confident that the level and scope of services that we provided equal or exceed what they've paid up to now. We feel very confident that the level and scope of services that we provided to the City of Waterford actually technically meets that definition as well. However, they have chosen to pursue another course of action, and it is my recommendation that we respect that course of action, provided funding to them. If the other cities should choose to follow the same course of action, then we would perform the same overall evaluation with those cities, and I would be forced to bring back subsequent recommendations to you. We do have funds set aside and that we will not touch until we're able to fully determine these one-time resources set aside that we will not touch until we're able to fully determine if there is any other exposure.
Yeah, these contract cities, the contracts we have, the Sheriff's Department's really not working in the best interest of the county to provide these services. I'm familiar with Patterson, and there we paid 100% of the chief's salary for years, and now we pay 50%, and we also provide 50% of the security for the Apricot Fiesta. You know, I don't know what all else. I suppose if somebody is on vacation or sick, we backfill that position and provide other services there. But I question whether or not we should even continue contracting with these other cities.
And that is something that we'll look at. The new contracts that we have in place do provide for the cities to pick up at least a portion of the chief's salaries in each of the jurisdictions, and the costs, some such as the Orange Blossom Festival, I think it's
Apricot
Festival, is are identified and borne by the cities now, where under the previous contract they were not. We have made some improvements to the contract. If you ask me if I think that fully covers the county's costs, I would tell you no, I still don't believe that we've captured all of the costs associated with these contracts. However, we're much closer than we have been in the past.
Okay, I'd asked one time before, is there anyone from the audience that cares to comment regarding this midterm budget? Seeing none then, are there any comments from the board? Supervisor Monteith.
We had some discussion here a year or two ago, and I'd like to point out that these contracts were developed a number of years ago, and as they are coming due, we're reviewing them. That process has already started, and they all don't come due at the same time. So many of the things that are being brought up today, we are aware of, and we will be addressing as the new contracts go into place. So it is something that we haven't neglected. It's something that we're aware of, but until the contracts are due and we do renegotiation, why we're doing the proper procedure to prepare for the next contract negotiations.
Supervisor O'Brien.
Overall, the entire agenda items, the budget picture looks extremely grim, and I think everybody in this room knows it. I want to thank CEO staff and CEO for the budget strategy that's before us. It's our best guess on how we're going to get through this. Each department head has done a great job already, and it's going to get tougher in the next 30 months. We know it. But I think this strategy is the best thing we got going. We still don't know what the state of California is going to do to us. Patty, I think you're right. The one thing for certain is that this is going to change, but we're all going to work together. I'm excited to see the carryover at the end of the year of funds not used. I like that idea, but we will get through this. We'll provide the best service that we can, and the public needs to understand that levels of services are going to decline. We're going to live within our means and do the best that we can.
I'm not seeing any further comments. Supervisor O'Brien, I believe you had a motion for us.
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that includes all the recommendations and the addition of one recommendation, and that recommendation is to instruct the CEO to relook at the City of Waterford contract to see if it makes financial sense to continue, as well as direct the sheriff to provide services to the City of Waterford that are either mandated by law or required in the contract, but nothing further.
Okay. Good. Second by Supervisor Chiesa. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you.
We'll then move to the item that we pulled from the consent agenda, item C2, which is a request for approval to appoint an interim county supervisor. And
surveyor.
Excuse me, surveyor. A little different, but Mr. Machado, would you outline the item for us,
please? Sure. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning to all supervisors, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doering. I'm Matt Machado, the Director of Public Works. The item before you this morning is a request to appoint Kurt Chappelle as interim county surveyor. As the staff report states, this is an interim step towards a long-term solution. Recently, we met with the local chapter of the Land Surveyors Association to discuss this long-term solution. We will continue to meet and confer with that group to ensure that our long-term solution is most appropriate. We think this is a good strategy to get us to our long-term goal. This is a very time-sensitive issue. Many of the functions of the county surveyor are required by state law and the Subdivision Map Act, and so it is time-sensitive, which does require this interim step to be made before we can develop a long-term solution. So to keep my comments brief, the requested approval this morning is to appoint Kurt Chappelle as the interim county surveyor. And so with that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Is there controversy involved with this interim appointment?
Well, it didn't seem like it until yesterday afternoon when we did receive a letter And I think the item that was brought up with this letter was from an individual who's a land surveyor in our community, and his concern is that why not appoint one of our other staff members as the county surveyor in the interim. And the concern we have with that approach, and we certainly discussed it and researched it, but the concern is that from a workload perspective, that doesn't seem to be a good solution. Our survey division is made up of three full-time people with the addition of a part-time person. One of the full-time positions recently retired, so we're down to two full-time positions and a part-time. And so to further exasperate their workload by having one person fill two roles doesn't seem appropriate. And so I believe with an interim outside county surveyor helping us in this interim stage is probably the most appropriate step.
Okay. Other questions of staff?
Yeah. In this interim period, will you be taking a look at either restructuring, seeing what we can do in the department, and or go out for recruitment in which current employees could apply for the permanent position?
Absolutely. One of the key issues that we're grappling with in terms of this long-term solution is creating a position for the county surveyor that's appropriate. And what that means is we'd like to see this position as a supervisory or management type position. The county surveyor affords that type of a role. And so we're looking at restructuring the division. Currently, we don't have that structure in place. And as we go forward and develop that structure, then we would certainly open that position up to internal, external candidates. All that would qualify because certainly we want the best candidate we can get to fill that long-term role.
Okay, we've had two requests to speak on this, and we'll get to both of you. First, I'd like to call on William Jones. Please come forward and state your name and tell us what your concerns are. Mr. Jones is the one that requested that we pull this from the consent agenda. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Jack Doring, probably my favorite attorney. Recently, I retired from Stanislaus County, and I served as the county surveyor from September the 19th, 2006 to January 29th, 2010. And at this time, I would really like to express gratitude to the board. I don't think every member is here who was here in 2006, but let me tell you, this was the greatest thing for me. To say that I loved serving as the county surveyor is an understatement. I worked in Stanislaus County for 39 years, and I loved it. Did I love every day? Did I love every 112-degree day? No. But to say that I have loved working in Stanislaus County is an understatement. It was my privilege to serve here. Truly it was. I would like to express that we have Larry Fontana, who is a duly licensed land surveyor, who presently works for Stanislaus County in the survey section. He has 22 years of experience and is well capable of taking on this job. He has taken over some of the duties that I was doing as county surveyor. He has his own duties in the office, and he's been asked to do surveying outside. But Mr. Fontana can do the job. He can do the job as county surveyor. He can do his other duties that he has, that he has been requested to do. And he is very qualified. I believe one of the numbers that was used, there would be appropriation of $30,000 for 3 to 6 months for the interim county surveyor. If we just gave Mr. Fontana $1,000 a month extra, which would be huge, that would only be $6,000 in 6 months. And if he were there for 18 months, that would only be $18,000, as opposed to a possible $90,000. I believe it is much more financially efficient from all of the dismal news that I've heard this morning to appoint Mr. Fontana as the interim county surveyor. I believe at this time we need to establish that county surveyor and staff to autonomous and independent of public works, answering only to the Board of Supervisors. In closing, I would like for the board to hear these words, because I believe that we have staff available right now, and that person is Larry Fontana, because he can do the job. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. We also have Mr. Jesse Stanley that has to speak.
My name is Jess Stanley. I have a land surveying business in Oakdale for the last 24 years, and I have worked with Larry Fontana and Bill Jones and Chuck Kincaid for those 24 years. And I would like to reiterate what Bill just said, that Larry is a duly licensed land surveyor. He's very competent and very willing to do the job, and I think he should be retained as the county surveyor.
Thank you. Anybody else care to comment? Please come forward, sir. Just give us your name, if you will.
Good morning. I'm Rich Foltz. I'm professional land surveyor. I'm representing the Central Valley chapter of the California Land Surveyors Association this morning. Our chapter represents 40-plus members from Stanislaus, San Joaquin, and Merced County. As Mr. Machado mentioned, we worked with staff early on. We met with them, voiced our concerns, asked some questions about what the process was going to be to fulfill this position. Our mission is to assist the county in whatever way possible as you work through this challenge. We feel that we have a common goal on behalf of CLSA, the county, the staff, and the public, the property owners within the county. Our chapter does support the interim solution of contracting with Kurt Chappelle. We look forward to any future involvement. I'd like to thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll bring it back to the board for further questions or discussion or motion. Supervisor DeMartini.
Mr. Machado, our staff report says that the existing management does not have a land, anyone with a land surveyor's license on staff. Is that true or not?
Well, our existing survey group does have a staff member that does have their LS. That's Larry Fontana. He's had his license for about 2 years, and so we certainly do have an LS on staff, but he's certainly fulfilling a current duty, and we need him desperately to continue that service that he provides us.
Why does the staff report say that there's no one that has a surveying license?
No.
Or management, is he not management? Or
he is not management. I think that's probably the wrinkle of that comment. And I think what that's really referring to is my position. In the past, the Director of Public Works was the county surveyor, and for the most part, the Public Works Director was a civil engineer who was grandfathered into the land surveying profession. And so that's how the county provided county or the county surveyor position. But my license does not grandfather me into that profession, and I don't have the LS certificate. And so I think that's where that comment is coming from in the staff report, and that's what it's referencing also.
Okay. Thank you.
Supervisor O'Brien.
Personally, I think we need to get to a final solution as quickly as possible. Being that the position came to us open in a short amount of time, I will support your recommendation for an interim position, but let's try to get it done as quickly as possible. And, you know, my position always, as long as someone's qualified and can do the job great, it's internal, I think that would be great. But you got to make sure it's the right person for the right job. And, you know, we have to do the public's business. We got to make sure it's accurate. So I will support staff recommendation, and if you're ready for a motion, I will make a motion with just the comments that let's get it finalized as soon as possible.
Yes, sir. Supervisor O'Brien has made a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Supervisor Keza. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then while you're here, we'll consider item C3, a proposal to adopt a resolution initiating proceedings for the formation of County Service Area 28 in Grayson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Matt Machado, Public Works Director, and thank you, Supervisors, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doring. With me this morning is Denny Ferreira. He manages our special districts, our CSAs and lighting districts. The item before you this morning is the starting of a formation of a new CSA, Community Service Area, in Grayson. In Grayson, we've met with the community over the past year or more, multiple meetings to try to focus down on their needs, and they certainly have needs in Grayson, and their special benefit type needs, their needs of maintaining the storm drainage system, the existing system, having a plan to replace pumps, to provide cleanup work on the streets and catch basins, and even to provide some capital improvements on Mary Street. And so we've heard them, we've put together a plan, we think we have consensus in the community, and this is a step in that direction to form the special district to provide those special services that the community desires. I'll turn it to Denny to further explain our item this morning. And one last note, this is going to be a model for other areas. We are working in multiple neighborhoods and community areas to develop the same structure for them as their needs arise. And so we're trying to make this a model for others. And so we think it's a good direction. Denny?
Oh, thank you, Matt. Good morning, Chairman Dover, Board of Supervisors, Council Doring, Mr. Robinson. My name is Denny Ferrer, and I do work under Matt in the Stanislaus Department of Public Works. As just stated, you know, we are in front of you today to initiate the proceedings for the formation of County Service Area 28 in Grayson. This formation has been initiated by the request of the town owners through public outreach that Matt has done with the people in Grayson. The purpose of this county service area is to provide ongoing maintenance and operation of the existing storm drain system. The existing storm drain system serves 273 of the 276 parcels that lie north of West Grayson Road, east of the River Road, and west of the San Joaquin River. These parcels are served by approximately 30,000 linear feet of curb and gutter, and existingly there are 23 drain inlets or catch basins that provide drainage to a gravity flow drain system that runs from south to north and terminates into a storm basin that is on the northeast corner of the unincorporated town of Grayson. Included with this proposal is the reconstruction of Mary Street. Now, this improvement will provide similar underground infrastructure, infrastructure and drainage capabilities, along with 1,300 linear feet of curb and gutter, and along with the resurfacing of Mary Street. These improvements to Mary Street will provide a consistent tie with that of the entire community of Grayson. This required procedure for the formation of CSA 28 is in complete compliance with the procedures set forth by the Constitution of the State of California, and more specifically, Proposition 218. And Mr. Chairman, at this time, staff would like to ask the following recommendations be approved by the board. Adopt a resolution initiating proceedings for the formation of County Service Area 28 Grayson. Direct the Public Works Department to prepare and file the required engineer's report. Authorize the use of up to $10,000 of community development funds for the initial startup costs associated with the formation of CSA 28 Grayson. And direct the Auditor Controller to increase appropriations as detailed in the Budget Journal form. And prior to any motion being made at this time, I'd like to ask the board if they have any questions for Matt and I in regards to this item.
And if I may, one comment, I'd like to thank Supervisor DeMartini. Throughout all the outreach, which we did over the past year plus, Supervisor DeMartini was there all the steps, and he's been a really key person to discuss with the individuals out there. So I'd like to thank Jim for him helping us putting this package together.
Any questions of staff? Anyone from the audience care to comment on this proposal? Supervisor DeMartini, would you want to give us your opinion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I always have an opinion.
I know that.
Let me say that, you know, I've worked with the Public Works Department and the Community Service District over this project, and I believe this can be a model for other areas. This isn't the county providing all these improvements for no cost to the residents. They are assuming that it passes through the vote, of the 218 vote, the residents would agree to tax themselves for these improvements. The area of particular concern is Mary Street, which is alongside the new, fairly new community center. With the roads in poor repair, there's no sidewalks, there's no storm drains there, although there is in the rest of the town. And this has been a concern of the residents of Grayson for some time, that this street be improved, along with just maintenance of the storm drain, which is also would take care of. The difference here is that the residents are willing to pay for this. So there is some seed money that has to be used from the Community Development Fund, which I have used any in District 5 up until this time. And I believe this is a very worthy project, since the residents are willing to step up and pay virtually all of the repairs, assuming that it passes the vote. I think that we should go ahead with this project. I would also like to say that, you know, I have been promoting this type of approach in South Modesto, too, for areas that still lack sewer systems or storm drains or even sidewalks in some places, that if an area would agree to come up with some of the funding for that, we can move these projects along much quicker than if they're just waiting for the county to come up with all the money. As our dollars are becoming more scarce, the communities really need to step up to the plate and pay for this. And then this is the first example that we have of people that are paying their own way.
Do you have a motion for us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I would move that we approve the four staff recommendations.
Okay, thank you.
Second.
Second, Supervisor Monteith. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure. Let's consider the correspondence.
This board has received four letters from the California Fish and Game Commission regarding proposed regulatory action concerning mammal hunting, Central Valley sport fishing, ocean salmon sport fishing, and the Klamath Trinity River sport fishing.
Referred to the Fish and Wildlife Committee.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Surface Transportation Board regarding the abandonment of a 5.18-mile line of railroad known as McHenry Industrial Lead.
Please refer this to the Department of Public Works.
This board has received two letters from the City of Newman regarding the proposed 2010 amendment to the redevelopment plan for the Newman Redevelopment Project.
Refer to the Department of Planning, Community Development, and the Auditor Controller.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of these claims and refer them to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports this afternoon? Supervisor DeMartini.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I just would like to make a comment about the county's proposed ordinance on exportation of groundwater out of the county. Ag Advisory Board met yesterday. There has been an extension of the comment period for about another 60 days for people that are interested in this. I know we've got quite an interest from the irrigation districts and from landowners that have just heard about this recently. I will be speaking about this this Thursday at the annual Farm Bureau meeting. I've been to the Del Puerto Water District, and I have appointments with the other water districts, so within the next 2 weeks, with El Soyo, West Stanislaus, and Patterson. And then I know Supervisor Keyes has been to the PID also. So for those of you who are interested in the public on what this ordinance is, the information is available from the Ag Commissioner's office, and the comment period has been extended an additional 60 days.
Yeah. Thank you. Supervisor O'Brien?
Mr. Chairman, I just need to report that I was part of the Stanislaus County Collaborative Group that went to Washington, D.C., as well as yourself, with five priorities, four of them with appropriation request, and it's hard to tell any indication, but 10 months from now, I fully expect we'll see something. And it's always interesting to see what else we learn every year when we go back there, and this year it seemed to be how to get into the President's budget for that Orestimpa flood control project. So just need to report that out.
Okay. Thank you. Supervisor Chiesa.
I just wanted to report out, if you didn't read in the paper, that the community of Keys, the majority of the landowners, voted to increase their assessment for the lighting district, and I had many comments thanking the board, Stanislaus County, and the board specifically for their help in getting that passed, keeping the lights on through the end of the year. So thank you, guys.
Good. Thank you. We'd like a report then from the Chief Executive Officer for, regarding legislative, fiscal, or management items.
A couple of items on the Sacramento side of our legislative endeavors. SB 85, which was the negative bailout Cogdale bill, no material effect on the county, but positive step in the right direction. Was signed by the governor. This is the first relief that we received of any form. A negative bailout that has only short-term benefits, and then only if the property tax rolls increase in value. SB 1356 is a very important bill for the county. It's a denim bill, and it's a bill that would provide reimbursement to counties for homicide trials for law enforcement officers killed in the line of duty. And, of course, that's very important to us because of the Columbus Allen Jr. trial that is very, very costly. And finally, AB 1770, the Galgiani bill, has been introduced that would allow the county to charge up to a $2 fee to be used for administration of the Family Justice Center. The hearing has been set for March 9th, we believe. And that's all I have.
Okay. We're going to adjourn to closed session. Before we do, I'd like to acknowledge Councilman Gear, who has spent some time in the audience here. Thank you for coming and being part of the meeting. Mr. Dorling, would you outline our closed session agenda, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We have a conference with legal counsel to discuss existing litigation under Government Code Section 54956, Subdivision A, regarding one case, Tamara Smith et al. Versus County of Stanislaus et al., United States District Court for the Eastern District of California, case number 07-CV-0086. OWW-NEW. Second is a conference with legal counsel to discuss significant exposure to litigation involving one case pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision B. And finally is conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The agency negotiator is Richard Robinson, and the labor organizations are those noted on the agenda. We do not expect or anticipate a report out of closed session.
Thank you. This meeting is adjourned to closed session.